All right, at this time we have a video tribute, and so I'll direct your attention to the screen again. So I'm sorry I lost you. So what would you like for me to do?
Obviously, read scripture. It's bad.
Okay, I can read scripture. So go ahead and look to the back of your program, and I invite you to read this with me at Psalm 23. And so please join with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If I could have you do this, that word at the end, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, just kind of circle the word follow or underline it if you have a pen, because this word follow is hard to translate into English and do it full justice. I followed somebody over to church today. Okay, but I wasn't chasing them. Okay, and sometimes you might have, you know, the neighbor's dog might follow you for a little bit and then wander back home or whatever. The word that's translated here, follow, it's the word pursue. And so it's the idea, this word gets used when an army is after someone. And so it's not just kind of a happenstance following along. It's not just that the person in front of you is going to the same place that you're going, and so you happen to be following them. It's the idea of chasing. It's the idea of pursuing. And so to begin to listen to this line with that in mind, surely God, your goodness, surely God, your love is chasing after me all the days of my life. Doesn't just happen to be behind me, you know, tagging along, or happens to be going the same direction I'm going, but your goodness, your love, your mercy, chasing me, pursuing me like an army to capture me all the days of my life. And I think what I hear being said is that we know that God was after your mom, your grandmother, with that love. And we have also heard that as she was caught by that love, now through her, God was chasing after you with that love and with that mercy. And so just as you kind of take this with you, think about that word follow, that God is chasing after us with his goodness, with his mercy, with his steadfast love. And not just momentarily, but all the days of our lives, God is pursuing us with his goodness. All right, Dee, is that good? I could go on.
We just have to make adjustments.
No worries.
Hey, we're flexible here. Well, does anybody else want to share a story or a memory? Okay. Well, there'll be plenty of time to talk with each other afterwards around the table. I've kind of wrestled a little bit with what are we doing here today? You know, it was a year ago that your mom, your grandmother, whatever the relationship, it was a year ago that she passed. A year ago today, on Friday, if we go yesterday, if we're working calendar date, the 13th today. I don't know that I've ever done a memorial service or a celebration of life service or funeral service, whatever we want to call it. I don't know that I've ever done one a year late. I think I've done plenty, you know, within a couple of weeks. And so it just kind of makes me stop and think, okay, this happened a year ago that she passed. You know, what are we doing here today? And I know that it wasn't easy to gather last a year ago, and it's much easier to gather now to have a place to gather. And so I feel like, okay, that kind of makes sense to me that we're here because now we can be here and now we can gather, and that there's a freedom to do that. And I think about, okay, well, so we're gathered, so what are we here for? And I think we're here to remember, we're here to thank God, we're here to share stories, we're here to cry together, we're here to laugh together, we're here to kind of share pain, to share joy, that we are here to remember and to give thanks and to cry and to celebrate. And then I think, okay, but is that all we're here for? Is that the only reason we're here? And I think a little bit more about it. I think, okay, yeah, we're here to offer comfort and to share and to cry and to laugh and to remember. And one of the biggest reasons we're here is to remind each other of truth. You know, the truth of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. That yes, we grieve, but we don't hopelessly grieve. That there is truth that in the midst of the pain and the sorrow and the missing, that we have the hope of heaven, we have the hope of resurrection. And so that death is never the last word. Death is a real word, it's a painful word, we suffer from that word, goodbyes are incredibly hard. We have a hope that is greater than death. We have the hope of resurrection. We have the hope of being reunited. And so we remind each other of that truth and the comfort that that gives and the hope that that gives. And so I see that happening. I'm grateful for that happening. And I want to make sure that you're aware of that, that we're here not simply to cry, to laugh, to remember, but we're also here to remind each other of the truth of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, that as real as death is, and every single one of us is under a death sentence. We don't know when it's going to be executed, but every single one of us is under a death sentence. But when we place our faith, our lives are in Christ, not only are we under a death sentence, but we are under a resurrection sentence. And so death happens, but it's not the final sentence. The death happens, but it's not the final word. And that we're united with Christ above, awaiting resurrection day. And the devil gets nothing. The devil doesn't get our broken, dead bodies. God reclaims those and resurrects those so that the victory is total. And so we are here to remind each other of the total victory that we have in Christ Jesus. So that's part of why we're here. But I'm still wrestling with it. And I'm still thinking about it. Why are we here today? And this is where I've landed. We are here today because God doesn't quit. Can I say it again? The reason why we are here today in this place at this time together is because God is a God who does not quit. Like the psalmist said, chases after us, pursues us with no quit, with his goodness, with his love, with his mercy. Now, I got to be honest with you, and I've really appreciated your honesty. I mean, if I'm really honest with you, I've been to some funerals where at the end of the funeral, my wife and I are leaving, and we're trying to figure out who it was that was buried. Because there was so much fluff and so little honesty. And yet I've heard in your testimonies, in your sharing, some really kind of honest responses and honest memories. And if I'm honest with you, and I will be, I am, when I knew your mom, your grandmother, she was not well. You know, I knew her like Aaron was saying, I knew her through some of the worst days of her life. And she was not well. And you know it's true that when mom is not well, nobody's well. And you guys weren't well. You guys were a handful. Okay, and Marla was reminding me last night of how mad I would get sometimes. And it's true. And I'd be mad at your mom. I'd be mad at your mom for the decisions that she made. Couldn't wrap my mind around how she could make some of those decisions and how she could let some of those things happen. And I'd just be angry about it. Like, she ought to be a better mom. And then I would see what that did to you guys and then some of the decisions that you would make. And I can remember at times kind of being in your face. You know, what decisions are you making? You got to start making some better decisions. And, you know, when you're in those situations, it's easy to quit on people. It's easy to give up on people. You know, I think about, you know, the Padres. I think about the Chargers. Victor, I'm really impressed with the Chargers bowl. And, you know, if I was Victor and I had a bowl, and I can still grow hair on the side. You know, I probably would have let that hair grow out and covered up the bowl.
Yeah, me too.
Me too. Why? Because I quit on them when they suck. But as soon as they start playing better, all of a sudden I'm ready to shave my head, you know, and let the bolt be seen. Okay, we have a tendency to quit and when things aren't going well for someone, and especially if we think they're to blame and we think that they're making bad decisions, you know, our tendency is to give up on them. But you know what? That's not who God is. God never quit on your mom. God never quit chasing after her with his goodness, with his loving kindness, with his steadfast love. And you know, and I know, that God caught her. And she changed. And we heard that through Brianna's testimony, through her memory. And just the woman that I knew, the mom that I knew, that would make decisions that would be so frustrating to me as a pastor, just seeing what's going on and what this decision does to the rest of the family, let alone the pain that she was dealing with. But God kept chasing. And God never quit on your mom. And that's why she became the grandmother that she was. That's why you have the memories that you have. Because God kept chasing. God never quit. And the truth is, that's why every single one of us is here today. Because God didn't. Because you know what? If God would have quit, do you think any of us would have been here? No. Wouldn't have happened. But God didn't quit. And so because God didn't quit, we're here to celebrate and to remember and to cry and to laugh. And to remind each other of the truth, of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. As I was thinking more about this morning and just kind of the God we serve, a God who never quits. And I was reminded of some words that the Apostle Paul wrote to a church at Philippi. I got to tell you Paul's story a little bit. Okay, Paul was going up. Paul was going directly against Christ Jesus. Okay, and Christ was already crucified and risen, and the church was starting to grow, and Paul was this guy who was trying to shut it down. And he was persecuting Christians, and he was trying to stop the spread of the gospel, shut it down. And Christ met him. Again, God doesn't quit. And Christ met him and said, "Look, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you chasing after me for evil? I'm chasing after you for good." And in that moment, Paul realized who Jesus was, that he is the Christ, that he's our Savior, that he's our hope. And a radical transformation took place in Paul's life to where he began to tell everybody about Jesus. And he began to be sent by the church and by God on different missionary journeys. And he went on three different journeys, planting churches all across Asia Minor, all across Europe. And Paul wanted to go to Spain. He wanted to go past Rome to Spain, where nobody had ever taken the gospel before. Those were his plans. And he even shared those plans with the church at Rome. And he told the church at Rome, okay, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and I have this offering to deliver there that I've collected from all the churches in kind of Eastern Europe to help the poor in Jerusalem. And then from there, I'm going to travel to you in Rome, and what I want you to do is I want you to help me take the gospel where it's never been, to take it to Spain. Those were his plans. He told people about his plans. You know what happened? He went to Jerusalem with this offering to deliver, to help take care of the poor there. And he was arrested. He was accused of bringing Gentiles into the temple so that the temple was defiled. They were false charges, but that didn't matter. And he was arrested on false charges, and he was incarcerated, locked up, and went before judges, and they found no reason, but there were life threats out on him. People wanted to stop Paul, just like he wanted to stop the church earlier. And so he ends up being left in jail and kind of leaders doing a favor by keeping him in jail. And he's kind of forgotten. And then he gets a new trial, and that's not going to go his way. And so he appeals to Rome. And so now he's going to be a prisoner that's transported to Rome. And he's got to go by ship. Shipwreck. And it's one of the worst shipwrecks we read about. And it's like almost everybody, it just looks like there's no hope. But God told Paul that you're going to testify in Rome. And he eventually makes it through the shipwreck. No one is lost. And he ends up in Rome. And from Rome, he writes this letter to the Philippian church. Remember, in Rome, what's he doing there? He's in prison on false charges. Do you know what he tells the church at Philippi? He says, I want you to know that what has happened to me has actually turned out for the advancement of the gospel. Did you hear that? All of these plans blown up, everything going wrong, and Paul saying, hey, I want you to know, church, that what happened to me hasn't stifled God. It hasn't stopped the mission of God. It hasn't stopped God from pursuing me and pursuing people with his goodness and his mercy. In fact, what has happened to me has actually turned out for the advancement of the gospel. So that all those guards who were watching him in prison and responsible for him, they learned about Christ. And because of Paul's boldness, other believers became more encouraged to be bold in their faith, no matter the consequences. And so Paul is saying, look, I want you to know that when everything looked terrible and wrong and plans being blown up and not going like I thought they should go, yet now I can see that God wasn't done and God wasn't stifled. And I want you to know that everything that's happened has actually turned out for the advancement of the gospel. The good news, the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And Paul writes this to them. He says, I'm confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will continue to perfect it, continue to complete it, continue to bring it to maturity, all the way until the day Christ returns. God doesn't quit. And it doesn't matter how horrible your circumstances are. It doesn't matter how blown up your plans get. That God is able to work in that and through that so that the gospel continues to be advanced. God doesn't quit. And not only does the gospel continue to be advanced, but God's work in you continues to be completed and grown and perfected so that you become more and more Christ-like. I think I can see that today. I think I can see that in Esther, that God never quit, that God continued to work and to perfect that which was begun in her, to bring it to completion, to bring it to maturity until the day he took her home. And no, is this how, did life go the way your mom would have planned for it to go? No. But God didn't quit. God kept working. And I don't know, there may have been times where you were so angry and frustrated with your mom that maybe you quit on your mom. But God didn't. God stayed faithful, chasing after her with goodness and mercy and his loving kindness to where she was caught and transformed. And God continued to perfect, continued to complete that good work that he began within her, so that we hear a testimony like Brianna shared about her. Are you catching that? Are you seeing it? And so I think Esther could say to all of you, hey, I want you to know that all that happened to me, you would have never thought it, but all that happened to me actually turned out for the advancement of the gospel. So that all those around me, my kids, my grandkids, their friends, their loved ones, a whole neighborhood, that all those around me came to know the saving power of God by what he did in my life. And that encourages you and me to not give up, because our God doesn't give up. And I hope you're also hearing that this isn't just true for Esther. And this is true for each of you. That the one who has begun a good work in you, whatever level that may have been, however young you might have been, wherever you're at now, that the one who has begun a good work in you, he doesn't quit. He's not done with you. He is continuing to work, to mature, to perfect that which he began in you. And he will keep on working and keep on chasing and keep on loving and keep on maturing you all the days of your life until the day of Christ Jesus, until the day he takes you home or Christ returns. You know, just one more thought. Maybe this captures it all. Paul wrote to the church at Rome, before he ever got shipwrecked and all that stuff, before he got arrested, he wrote that God is at work in all things. Not just the good things, not just the planned things, not just the things that we like. God is at work in all things for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. God is at work in all things for the good. Sometimes that's hard for us to understand, how God could be at work in a bad thing to bring about good. But that's our God. Our God doesn't quit chasing us with his love, with his mercy, with his goodness, and he captures us and he grows us so that, like Paul, I believe like Esther, we can say, hey, you remember that bad stuff that happened? I want you to know that somehow God worked in it so that it turned out for the best, for the advancement of the gospel, that people are being strengthened in their faith, that they're seeing who God is, that God is a God who never quits loving us, never quits chasing us, and God is a God who continues to perfect, to grow, to mature what he has begun within us. He's at work in you. He's at work today. And he will continue to be at work. And you know what the Lord's going to do? The Lord is going to use your memory of Esther and his work in her life to help you to continue to grow. And that when you're going through hard times, you're going to remember, he kept chasing after my mom. He's chasing after me. And he never quit on my mom. He's never going to quit on me. And he's going to take everything I've done and everything I've gone through and everything I might be going through now, he's going to take it and somehow bring good out of it so that he'll be praised and I'll be recognized who he is by his work in my life, that he's good, and that he's loving, and that he saves. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we just thank you for who you are, that you don't quit. Thank you for not quitting on Esther. Lord knows she had so many people give up on her, but you never did. You kept loving and you kept chasing her with your goodness, and you caught her and you changed her. What a beautiful testimony. Thank you for how you worked through her, that your gospel would be advanced, of the difference that you make and the salvation that you bring and the peace that you give, the transformation. Lord, we are so grateful today for your work in Esther's life. We're so grateful today for who you are. We're grateful for how you work in our lives. And Lord, I don't know where each one's at today, but we pray, Lord, that you would just help us, each and every one of us, to just say, Lord, whatever you want to do in me, please do it. Lord, help me to be caught by your goodness, by your love, by your mercy. Change my life more and more to be like Christ, to be a testimony in good times and in bad, that you are the God who saves and who never, ever quits. You chase us with your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.